And I want to start tonight with a scripture in 11th chapter of Hebrews. It's probably pretty familiar to us. 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And I want to focus in particularly on the idea that we must believe that He is. I think that a lot of people in this day and time are losing their vision and their ideas and thoughts and faith to what God really is. And the scripture says is the first place of faith is that you got to believe that He is. I don't think it just merely stops at the idea of a recognition that there may be some energy force out there somewhere or some kind of a distant being or something out there. But He is what He says He is. He is. He exists. He is the great I Am. Self-existent One. All-present. All-powerful. All-knowing. It's the God that proclaimed Himself to be God. That's the God that is. And I think sometimes that even believers in God can really begin to be because of the world, because of the things around us, I think we can get dim in our vision and our idea and our faith that God is what God says God is. That's what He is. He is God. And He rules in everything. In all things. God is a part of all things that we know and exist. I think we can go through our day and not even see Him if we ain't very careful. I think we can miss God on a lot of different lines, but God is tonight what God said that He was. And so we need to have a faith in God that we can see what God really is. I think sometimes I've missed seeing God in the events and the places of my life. I think I've missed it sometimes. Not really realizing and understanding that God's in this thing. God's in this. I think that God is in all the events of life. Take the big things that happen. We're in a world today that's dismissing the idea that God is a part of things. Saying that just happened. It's a natural event. Or it's just the way things happen. It works out to be that. But you know, as I read my Bible, I find that there's a God that's active and involved, and it absolutely is in the events of people's lives. God is in our lives. If we can see it, I think it'll help us so much to actually understand, because I believe tonight that God has proclaimed Himself to be a God of love. I think God's greatest desire and ambition for all of us is that we meet Him in peace one of these days. I believe God wants to work in all of our lives to where we can live a good life here and forever be with the Lord. I think it's His main desire and purpose is that we get to that kind of a place. Then when I can realize that, then I realize that if God is in the hard things, it's for my good. If the difficult things that come my way, if I can see that God's in that thing, then it makes a difference to me. I've been a person over the years that have just kind of looked at the events of my life is that, hey, bad people do bad things. And, well, there's some truth to that. But is it possible that God may be and that's who? Is it possible that God allows even that kind of a thing to happen? Back when the Twin Towers was attacked, 9-1-1, we all know the famous date of that. And I remember hearing some of the world's ministers, you want to call them that, saying that God was displeased with some things to allow, and he allowed something to happen, and people started hollering foul. You can't say that kind of a thing. And it wasn't long until the pressure got hard enough that the people recanted and said, I'm sorry that I said this. I shouldn't have said that. And I was saying, well, now hold it a minute. Hold it a minute. Don't be so quick. For God does do that kind of thing. I think that if a sparrow can't fall to the ground without God seeing it, then God knows those events too. I think that it would be impossible for a storm to come in that does the damage that Katrina did, for God not to know it, realize it, bring it to pass. If he sees a sparrow fall, he saw that too. So God works in the events of our life. And my burden tonight is that if we could only get to the place that we can see God for what he is. What is he? God proclaimed himself to be something. A God that is in the affairs of men. Do you know God's in the events of your life? God's in the things that happen in your life. And so often we can put them to nature. We can put them to my own inability of my mind. We can put them into the misbehaviors of others. We can put them in all these categories. And all at the same time, God says, I am. I am, and I run the circumstances of your life. Have you ever noticed that it seems like some people's lot, they're chosen for a life of affliction trusting God? You ever known anyone that seemed like their whole existence was one thing after another that they had to endure and go through? And I've never been in that kind of place. I wasn't chosen for that, but it seems that there's God chooses some people for that, and we may say, well, maybe that's a weakness of genetic makeup. It's just sickly type people. You know, if you do that, it's hard to have faith in genetics. But God says you must first believe that He is. He is. God is tonight. Oh, Lord, help us to get a real firm hold on this, that God is tonight. And that part that He is puts Him in to the things that happen to me. God is. And He allows everything that comes into my life. He's a part of it. And you say sometimes, well, that's a bad thing. That had to come from another source. Let's investigate the idea a little bit tonight. A little more foundation. There was a song written, a very, very popular song. It's come down through the ages. I don't know exactly when it was written, but I know that it was used for it was actually a military marching song. It was what was used, I believe it was used in the Civil War. The Union soldiers used it. It was called the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Anybody ever heard that song? Well, you probably have, because it's a very famous song. But the idea that the songwriter got a hold of was pretty amazing. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trodden out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. This had to do with army. It had to do with war. It had to do with bad things. But the writer of this vision was, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The Lord has something stored up. The Lord has brought us to a time and a place. God has looked into the affairs of men, and in His great mercy and love, wrath to all of that God said, I am. He allows there to be wars in people's lives. I want to submit to you today that if it's true, and I believe that it is, that God uses those kind of things, then it's also true that He works individually the same way. My eyes have said, oh yeah, I want to challenge you that when you really get under the gun, and when it looks like everything's coming down on you, and it looks like there's no hope, it'd be a real challenge to look up and say, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trodden out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. God is in my trial. God has handpicked my trial for me. God has handpicked this war. Like I said, I've always just thought that the things that happened to me was because bad people do bad things to people sometimes. So it must be bad people doing bad things to me. And that's as far as my vision could see until the Lord helped me to see that there's chosen places in God that God allows for our betterment, bad things to happen to us through bad people sometimes. Or people's willingness to do bad, God will use that. And then I can look around and say, really? Thank you, Lord. Because now I can see that involved in this thing is my salvation. Involved in this war, in this place, is my freedom, my salvation, my deliverance, my hopes. All that I have is all I bet to you. It's in God. It's in God. I can't save myself. I don't even know where to go, how to handle my problems, take care of the difficulties of my life. So I trust in the hand of God to do it. Lord, lead me. And then I look and say, now what does the Lord do? He sends me a good trial. Something to stir me up real good with. You know, most of the world now, even Christian so-called professing world, doesn't see the glory of the coming of the Lord. They don't see the hand of God in the things that are around us. When things happen in our world, I want you to know God's in control of it. Absolutely everything. Proclaimed throughout the ages, the scriptures, God is in control. He rides the whirlwind. He speaks to the storms. He allows wars. He even talks to them. He tells them the time and the place. He uses people, time, circumstances. But I want to tell you, we need to see something in it. It's God. Ancient people, and people even in past generations of our country, had a much better grasp, a hold of the idea of God than what today's society does. They believed in older times when things happened, it was God. God allowed something to happen and they said, we should call upon God because God is allowing things to happen and we need to know the answers why God is allowing this kind of a thing into our life. He's speaking to us. He's saying something to us. I always thought just bad people done bad things. Now I'm beginning to realize that God uses bad people doing bad things to challenge my life. He uses what we call deficiencies of ourselves. Well, just born that way. It had nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with God. God made me. God allowed me to be deficient. God allowed these things into my life so that it would draw me ever closer to God. God was in it. You think God would allow bad things to happen to a person? There was a man one time that God said, you consider him? He's an upright man. A man that loves good and hates evil. That's quite a testimony for God to say about a man. Follow the story. God allowed bad things to happen to a good man. But the end of it, God had a plan. God has a plan for all of our lives too. God has a plan for all of us, but it really don't mean that God's plan will be accomplished if we don't allow it to be accomplished. If we don't go the way God wants us to go, God has a plan, a way of wanting to deal with us, but we have a part to play into it. Storms. God could have destroyed this chapel during Katrina's storm, and every eye could have said, the storm done it. God didn't destroy this chapel, and we could say, that was sure a lucky event. Well, wasn't we fortunate to have that chapel sitting just where it did? Wasn't that, so we done some good things, or we did this, or we did that? You know, God does those kind of things. He is tonight. He absolutely is.
Amen.
And we need to hinge our faith on the fact that God is. I have seen over and over the impossibilities of the way God can fall a tree. There has been a Myrtle Campground was a perfect example. Know if you ever went up there? I went and looked at that with the trees laying around and said, here's the chapel and the dining hall and all that, and down here's all these apartments and all these, and over here's these buildings and all, and these trees are laying one way and another, but none of them's on any of the buildings. And I looked at that and said, you'd have thought a tree would have fell somewhere on me. God took the ones leaning one way and went this way and went that way and went that, and they, none of them damaged anything hardly to it. That's God.
Amen.
That's just God. He is tonight.
Amen.
And when there is something too big for you that's fallen, He'll fall beside you. He won't let it fall on you. And when you see that thing that's fallen, and there is times God will let one of them fall right down on you. And we'll say, somehow God ain't anywhere around that thing. Oh, yes He is.
Amen.
Yes He is. There's an absolute reason for that. And it's up to us to begin to say, Lord, where are You?
Amen.
Where are You? I'm going to tell you something tonight. This nation that we know as the United States, been always challenged about its freedom. It won't be the Chi-Coms, it won't be the Soviets, it won't be the outward forces that really take it. Scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. We need to be able to know and see as God's believers, God is. And the things that allow, because God has always worked in a way that human, carnal, secular eyes cannot see the workings of God. But He wants His people to see it. Through faith in God to be able to see that these events that happen around are ordered of God. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes,
I believe it with all my heart. God orders the events of life around. Now I want to look at the Scripture in my feeble way, trying to prove what I'm saying. The 19th chapter of Luke, in the 41st verse, says, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave it in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of their visitation. In 70 A.D., Roman armies under Titus surrounded the city of Jerusalem. There was an insurrection there, and they surrounded the cities. There was great animosity between the Romans and the Jews. The Romans surrounded them, and there is a famous historian, Jewish historian, by the name of Josephus that lived in that day. And Josephus, my understanding is, was actually captured by the Romans outside the city and was held captive. And he seen the events that happened at the time, and he wrote about them, and he captured forever the history of what happened at that time. And at that time, it was said that Titus actually would send Josephus to try to get the Jews to surrender so that the city wouldn't be destroyed. And the temple particularly. Titus did not want to destroy the temple. But they didn't surrender. And it went on and on, to finally to the point that the city was the trench was there, but the actual wording means that they actually built up a mound in so many days, in a very short time, it was about 10 days, the Roman soldiers built a great earthen wall around the whole city, the outside, and totally entrenched the whole thing. Nobody could get in or out. They had the whole city under siege, and they held it siege for horrible, horrible deaths occurred. Horrible things happened to the city of Jerusalem at the time. But Titus himself did not want to destroy the temple, and at one point even give commands not to do it. He tried not to do it, but the word of the Lord had already been pronounced on these people. I'm telling you the history. The history says this is what the Romans did in 70 AD. They went in, they surrounded it. When they ended up attacking it, I think the Jews actually set fire to the temple, and at the end of it, it was given orders from Titus to put the fire out. The soldiers didn't hear him. They wouldn't hear him. Their animosity was so great and so great that they ended up totally burning the temple and destroying it, and at the end of it, they literally took plowshares and plowed up, as the word of the Lord said, Josephus was a Jew, and he had no reason to try to prove the words of the Lord. But his history was like a running commentary of what the Lord had already said. And it happened down to the exact words of the Lord 70 years after it was proclaimed, or not 40, some 40 years after it was that Jesus spoke these words. These events happened to the letter of what the Lord had said for it to happen. So we look and read the history of what Josephus said, and if that's all you look was of history, you would say, this is what happened, it's historic. But because the Lord wanted us to understand something, He actually prophesied this. And do you know even the Roman general that did not want to do it, could keep from doing it? The word had went forth, and it was in its makings, it was going to happen. And he proved it by even the forces that didn't want to do it ended up doing it. They ended up laying the whole thing down. It was completely destroyed. We have the benefit of seeing a spiritual side that the world don't see. Amen. The Jews never did see that. They seen the history of what the Romans done. And so if you look at the history and then you look and say, oh my, there is something behind this. What really happened? What really happened? Well, if you want to say historically, the Romans come in and that's what historically happened. But what really happened? If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. What really happened was they rejected the Lord. And the Lord used the forces that's in the earth to bring His word true. But you can't see that historically. So I say to you, back during, after World War I, I'm going to tell you some history. After World War I, Germany was downcast. They was humiliated by the Treaty of Versailles. They was cast down. They had a very poor system. Their people was in abject poverty. There was rioting. There was killings. It was all anarchy. They tried to get democracy working. It wouldn't take hold. It wouldn't work. They had a republic. All these different things. They had businessmen of that time that wasn't able to do what they really wanted to do, the real businessmen of the time. And they needed, this is history, they needed something strong. Hitler and some others made the Nazi Party. And they began to get behind the Nazi Party because they seen strong leadership and someone that could be a power in the earth. They had no idea of trying to conquer the world. They simply wanted to have a force. And so they backed Hitler financially. They got behind him. They saw him as a security for their business, a growth to it even. They said they backed him, and he ended up becoming all-powerful there. He became the Führer, the Chancellor, everything. He was the dictator. And then he began to start working and working, and finally he had ambitions. He started slowly by all kind of means of treachery and different things to get in other people's countries, to manipulate their people, to get their mindsets set and all this. And he worked very diligently in starting to take over countries. And he began to take over and over. And it ended up being a great part of World War II, where at some counts 40 to 50 million people died in that thing. And this is the history of the earth. You can read this in history books. Was that all that happened? Or God just refused to pay attention to that segment of time? No. It just isn't written. Something happened that caused God to say, there's going to be a war. He, I believe, tried to get the attention of people whose hearts had gone away from God. There was a great immoralities and those things through the 20s that I believe God was very displeased with. I'm just telling you the way I feel, but and by the words of the Lord here, He told us something that history has written down, but He didn't tell us all these other things. But I'm going to say to you today, I believe that God knew about World War II. I believe God actually had sometime sent forces from heaven to cause it to happen in the lives of men. To stir hearts. To cause people to come back to God. He said here, if you'd have known in this thy day the things that belong to thy peace, God did not want these people to come this course. It was not plan A to God. God wanted them to be happy and fulfilled in Him. He wanted them to be decent, moral, just people. They weren't. And when the very Son of God came to teach them, to help them, they should have known better than anybody in the world that this was the Messiah. He had all the prophecies. He had all the witness from God. He had the power. He opened blind eyes. He done all these things. And yet, all of it was in place. In the hardness of their heart, they said, we will not accept the Son of God. What was left? If thou would have known in this thy day the things which belong to thy peace. Can't back up 2,000 years, but here I am, 2010, dealing with me. You'd have to deal with you. Wouldn't it be an awful thing for the Lord to say, if thou would have known in this thy day the things which belong to thy peace? But you wouldn't accept it. You've turned and rejected. You know, there's only one thing, I'm going to say this in the fear of God, there's only one thing that can destroy you and hurt you, and that's the rejection of God. When you reject God and you look around and you'll say, oh, bad people do bad things and somebody bad done something to me. Know this, God is in control of all things. God rules in the lives and hearts of people. And this country of ours, if it rejects God, I think that it was built on the principles of God. I think God blessed it when men of heart, had the heart to do what God wanted them, and even in ignorance, if they had the heart, the Lord teach us, help us to see the things that is in this. I believe God honored it. It was said of George Washington, I assume it to be true, that George Washington prayed vigorously for protection of God and those kind of things. In one battle, I think he had two different horses shot out from under him and three bullet holes through his coat. And not a one of them touched him. He could have been a statistic too. God is able to do in our lives those kind of things. God does exist tonight. God is. He is. He is. You can't get by with anything because God is. God is in the affairs of our life. You can't do anything in the corner. You can't do anything in the closet. You can't hide your sins. You can't get away from it because God is tonight. Amen. And God will reveal what God wants to reveal. God will deal in what He needs to deal with. I've looked at things that happened in my life, and when I turned around at the end of it, you know what I've had to say? And even though it was awful to have to go through, I ended up saying, thank you, Lord, for that. Because I never would have seen what I see. I know God was in that. It was ugly, despicable, it was horrible, it was an awful event. But God spoke it to be. God said, do this. Allow this to happen. He did not want the Jews to go that way, but they went that way. Tonight, the challenge that I want to present to you is, don't go that way. Don't go that way. But yet realize that in the events of my life, if somebody that's, oh, I wish that person hadn't moved in beside me. We was talking about that today. Now wait a minute. Don't look at it that way. Say, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I see God in this thing. Well, that's going to be a real challenge if they get too close. That's just what you need then. You need a good challenge. You might need somebody right there that you get challenged with. You need the help. But they're so overbearing. Yep. Handpicked of God for you. It's God. These are, I'm telling you, faith insists upon it. You must believe that He is. This is God working in my life. Lord, I see You bringing this. Bring me to the place that I can fulfill this. I see by faith You're in this thing. You're in this. I know it's a fact that if you have a vehicle that it's going to break down. But where's it going to break down? I don't have to break down either, I'm going to tell you. I know there's mechanics. I know, but I want to tell you, God still is in our lives. God can do, and the way to look at life is, God is. He just is. And think of a scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Oh, let's see. I'll pick it up about 4, I guess. Or 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out. This is 12th chapter of Corinthians. And 3. Or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I should desire to glory, I shall be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he hear of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through an abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And I think that's just about what a fellow would do. I don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh is. I have my ideas, and Paul had testified about the man, and he was talking about himself and what the Lord had done and the abundance of revelations and all these kind of things. And then the Lord in His great wisdom, knowing Paul's situation, had ordained. Now, I know what a thorn's like. You get a thorn in your flesh, you got a thorn in your foot, you don't take a step without knowing it. It is a constant reminder. It seems like it's a hindrance. If you got a thorn in your foot, you don't walk as well as you could. You can't get around. You can't forget it because every time you step down, you got a pain in your foot. It gets infected. There's all these things with the thorn in the flesh. And the natural thing you want to do is just get rid of that thorn in the flesh and get it out of there. But Paul had a situation to deal with. And the Lord in His mercy looked down at Paul in that. I'll just say to you, I really think the thorn in the flesh had to do with somebody because thorn in the flesh has always been somebody to me. And I think that it was, I know in some of Paul's writings when he's talking about beasts at Ephesus and he talked about the false teachers and the false prophets and he talked to some of them and to me it was kind of like he was saying, I begot you and now in the gospel and now these people are coming along and they're enticing you away from the true word and he was just like, I can't believe these, I mean, it was always people. It was always people. I don't know, but it was always people. And here he's got a thorn in his flesh, something that was nagging, something that was keeping him from feeling like that he was doing what the most that he could do. He felt like that if I could just get rid of this thorn in my flesh, maybe there's somebody chasing around at him. Probably somebody was telling how bad a man he was. Do you know what he done? You know, he's a thief. There was always somebody going around trying to get your neck. And he followed whatever, but he had a thorn in the flesh. And he done the natural thing to do. He started praying about it. And he was saying, I thank Lord, I can't run as fast and as hard, and I can't get as much done in the gospel work because I got this thorn in my flesh. But he recognized something. God gave him a thorn in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, God gives you your thorn in the flesh too. It's not just that bad people do bad things sometimes. It's because you need it. And if the Apostle Paul needed it, you might need it too. And he, because he had seen things, there was a potential for him to say, I am so blessed, I can walk on water, I can lay my hands on somebody and they get healed, and I have seen things that no human being has seen. I must be something. Boy, ain't I a feller. Now, you talk about getting some people in line, he was about to start. But the Lord, in His mercy, looked down. It isn't about your spirituality, folks. It's about your humanity. It's about the needs that we have as people. God is.
Amen.
He is tonight. He is in what happens into your life. He is part of those things. God is with, in, around us, doing for us. God is. God was interested enough to send him a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet him. That's a bad thing. Well, it's bad, but it's good. And he got a hold of that, and I believe that Paul saw the Lord in what he was doing. So he prayed three times. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And old Paul gets a hold of something now. I've got the spiritual blessing. I got my spiritual eyes in now. Folks, when things start happening to our country around us, oh, bad people just started doing things and our economy fell. God had nothing to do with it. I think he did. I think he did. I think the more people reject God, the more things like that you'll see. God's mercy working and things happening. And I think God works in those kind of things. Is it possible that God would allow terrorists to strike? Why, sure it is. Look in the Scriptures and see if you don't read those kind of things. The children of Israel, God's people, turned their back on God. And what did God do? He told them, I'm going to send you captive for 70 years. Now, not long before that, Hezekiah, a man faithful, had took a letter before the Lord and laid it out on the altar. Here comes the Assyrians, same old people, but some time before, laid it out on there, they're coming, 180,000 strong, we're just little old weak people, and here comes a couple hundred thousand of these guys, very experienced in war, they got all the weapons of war. Lord, we can't stand against them. You see the what they're proclaiming, you see the threats that they're making. He lays the letter out, and Lord, read this letter, and to give it to the Lord. And do you know, Israel didn't even have to fight a battle with those characters. God destroyed the whole army. They destroyed themselves, and then the old Sennacherib went back, and I think his own family destroyed him. When he got back, he got killed. Bad people do bad things, but God put his hand in this thing and worked with that. But you know, the children of Israel, they had nobody to intercede. They didn't. And you know what? God allowed bad people to come and take them over in a very ugly way. Many of them died. Took their women. You say, God did that. That's what God did. That's what God did. He claimed responsibility. He said, I'm going to do it. And he sent them down there. Right in the midst of it, they was faithful people. Right in the midst of it, it proved that God was with those that was faithful to him in an individual sense. But God done that to a nation. God is tonight. He absolutely is. and He's in these things, and those things that come into our lives and the situations in our life, we need to accept them as God. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. God is with them. God allows these things to change. He did it for Israel. He sent them off captive, and there was a time that He sent them back. That was God. There was a guy named Joseph one time that had a string of bad things happen to him. He just had bad brothers. Well, he had bad brothers. But God used bad brothers. Joseph, gotta work. Got something for you to do. Oh, Joseph kind of kept his integrity, didn't he? Sent him down there. He thought he was being honorable. Thought he was being good. Where did God put him? Potiphar's house. Well, Potiphar was a decent man, and Joseph was a good-looking young man, and he was also, the way I understand it, he was skilled in abilities. He had education. Joseph was able to figure and do things that there was a benefit to this guy. And so he ended up in Potiphar's house just by random chance. Just by random chance, he ended up in Potiphar's house where Potiphar's wife was not so good. Because bad people do bad things. And it was God that put Joseph in Potiphar's house. You believe it? He had a course. Well, then what do you suppose happens when he was innocent? God be with me. I never touched that woman. He put him in jail. Well, I mean, circumstances is what they are. I mean, happenings, he got caught for something. I mean, he got accused of something. What are you going to do? You throw him in jail. How could God been in that? God was in all of it. God put Joseph in prison. Well, then a couple of guys came out of there for the, and remember the guys, the baker and the butler? They just happened to be thrown in there too. Just coincidence that they were thrown in there at the time. And it just happens that they had dreams one night. And it just happens that Joseph had this special little knack about knowing what dreams was. This all coincidence happened down the line. See how God is. He is. And He was in every bit of that. Right on down the line. Do you know that it was God that took him from way over there and put him in second in command? Who could do that? Talk about a politician's dream. He didn't even have to campaign. He got put up, lifted up to second in command, and anything in the kingdom, he managed the whole place because the Pharaoh said, I need somebody, and killed the guy. And who put it in his mind to do that? God. God used an old Pharaoh. You know, there was a time in the days of Esther that God started stirring one night in a special time, started stirring with the king's heart till he couldn't sleep. And he got up and started reading in the chronicles of his kingdom, and he read in there where a man named Mordecai had saved his life, and he thought, well, what did we reward this guy with? And it just happened to be a very good time for him to do that. God worked. God is. God is tonight. Do you know there's been times for God's people that He's given them jobs when it was impossible? He's kept jobs when it was impossible. God has worked on the hearts of people to favor His people. And He's worked on the hearts of people to come against His people. God is. God has protected us from many, many miles of driving. He's used the safety to the glory of God. Thank God for it. And He's used car wrecks too. He just has. He saved our lives and He's taken our lives. All for good purposes. Because if a sparrow can't fall to the ground without Him seeing it, He knows these things. It's God in our lives. Lord, help us to have faith to believe that God is. That God is. And Lord, help us to be able to see through the attacks, the fog put up from this world that declares that there is no God like that. But I want to say to you tonight, He is that God. He does rule the weather yet. I don't care how much they predict it and see it coming. There was a time in the days of Elijah that it hadn't rained in 3.5 years. And he prayed. And there was a little old cloud come up out of the sea about the size of a man's hand. It came up and here it comes. And he told them folks, didn't he? You get out of here, it's going to rain. I think they must have laughed at him. What are you talking about? Blue sky around here? You better go, here it comes. He prayed and it rained. I don't know. I am of the mind that it could have been forecasted. All this stuff's history. You can read the events. You can go through your life if you want and see the how things happen. And you can write down the events of it. And if you want to, you can never mention what God did in it or never see it. But I'm going to tell you, there's not an event in your life that God hadn't been in. That's a fact. God has ordered your days and your times. You are what you are, your dispositions and the things that happen to you in your life and the way you do things is the way God has made it to be, and God is in your life. And we need to acknowledge and see God. The Scripture says, they that come to God must first believe that He is. He is God. Lord, thank You today, whether good, bad, indifferent, whether it's raining or sunshining or snow, whether people's good to me or bad, whether things are going right or wrong, no matter what is happening, You are. You are. You allow these things in my life, and I want to thank You for it, because the ultimate good God wants is to save every one of us and to help every one of us to make it. So whatever event, you can go on through the Scriptures and just look and you'll see the events. Because it's written, we believe where God spoke to those things. But many a times we'll lose the idea in our lives. This is reality. This is reality. This happens. Somebody done something bad, put God in it all. Somebody just done that. Try seeing God in it. God is tonight. And He will deal in our lives. And He will work in our lives. And I want to thank the Lord for it. You pray for me.